the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, verses 32 to 48. Jesus said to his disciples, "There is no need to be afraid, little flock, for it has pleased your Father to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Get yourselves purses that do not wear out, treasure that will not fail you, in heaven, where no thief can reach it and no moth destroy it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. See that you are dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like men waiting for their master to return from the wedding feast, ready to open the door as soon as he comes and knocks. Happy those servants when the master finds them awake when he comes. I tell you solemnly, he will put on an apron, sit them down at table, and wait on them. It may be in the second watch he comes, or in the third, but happy those servants if he finds them ready. You may be quite sure of this, that if the householder had known at what hour the burglar would come, he would not have let anyone break through the wall of his house. You too must stand ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Peter said, "Lord, do you mean this parable for us or for everyone?" The Lord replied, "What sort of steward then is faithful and wise enough for the master to place him over his household and to give them their allowance of food at the proper time? Happy that servant if his master's arrival finds him at his employment. I tell you truly, he will place him over everything he owns. But as for the servant who says to himself, 'My master is taking his time coming,' and sets about beating the men servants and the maids, and eating and drinking and getting drunk, his master will come on a day he does not expect, and at an hour he does not know. The master will cut him off and send him to the same fate as the unfaithful. The servant who knows what his master wants, but has not even started to carry out those wishes, will receive very many strokes of the lash. The one who did not know, but deserves to be beaten for what he has done, will receive fewer lashes. When a man has had a great deal given him, a great deal will be demanded of him. When a man has had a great deal given him on trust, even more will be expected of him."
Speaking to a crowd of people near Lake Gennesaret, Jesus tells them not to worry about things of this world, but to seek first the kingdom of God. The Heavenly Father will provide the rest. "Be not afraid, my little flock," he says. "My Father was pleased to call you so that you may have his kingdom. You may therefore aspire to it and assist the Father through your goodwill and holy activity. Sell your property and give the money to charity if you are alone. Give your relatives means of subsistence as compensation for your abandoning the house to follow me, because it is unfair to deprive children and wife of their daily bread. And if you cannot sacrifice money, sacrifice the wealth of your affections. They are money which God evaluates for what they are: gold which is purer than any other gold, pearls which are more precious than those taken from the sea, and rubies which are rarer than those found in the bowels of the earth. Because to renounce one's family for my sake is love, which is more perfect than the purest gold. It is a pearl made of tears and a ruby made of blood wailing from the wound of one's heart, torn to pieces by the separation from father and mother, wife and children. But such purses never wear out, such treasures never fail. Thieves cannot break into heaven, woodworms cannot eat what is deposited there. So have heaven in your hearts and your hearts in heaven near your treasures, because a heart, whether good or wicked, is with what you consider to be your dear treasure. Be always ready, like those who are about to depart or are waiting for their master. You are the servants of the Master God. He can call you where he is at any moment, or he can come where you are. God is fast in coming or in saying come. So be ready to open the door to him when he arrives, or to leave should he call you. Blessed are those servants whom the Master finds vigilant on his arrival. I tell you solemnly that to reward them for their faithful waiting, he will gird his waist, make them sit at the table and serve them. He may come at the first or second or third watch. You do not know, so be always vigilant. You will be happy if you are, and if the Master finds you ready. Do not flatter yourselves by saying, "There is time, he will not come tonight." Evil will happen to you. You do not know. If one knew when a thief was going to come, one would not leave the house unguarded, lest a robber may force open both the door and the boxes of valuables. Be prepared as well, because when you least expect him, the Son of Man will come, saying, "It is time." Peter has been listening, and when he sees that Jesus is silent, he asks, "What you said, is that for us or for everybody?" And Jesus replies, "It is for you and for everybody. But it is primarily for you, because you are like stewards put by the Master in charge of the servants. And it is your duty to be twice as vigilant, both as stewards and as simple believers. Happy is the servant whom the Master finds acting loyally, diligently, and honestly on his return home. I tell you solemnly that he will give his steward control over other estates, over all his estates, and will relax and rejoice in his heart because of the servant's reliability. But if the servant says, 'Well, my master is very far away and has written to me saying he will be delayed in coming home, so I can do what I like and I will do the necessary things when I think he is due to come home,' he begins to eat and drink until he gets drunk and gives crazy orders. But because the good servants under him refuse to carry out those orders so as not to cause damage to their master, he beats the servants and the maids until they are taken ill. And he happily says, 'At last I relish being the master, and I am feared by everybody.' What will happen to him? It will happen that the master will arrive when least expected, catching him perhaps in the very act of pocketing money or bribing some of the most unreliable servants. Then, I tell you, the master will throw him out, dismissing him of his position as steward and refusing to keep him among his servants, because it is not right to keep unfaithful traitors amongst honest people. And the more the master had previously loved and instructed him, the more he would be punished. Because the more one is aware of the will and mind of the master, the more one is obliged to serve it faithfully. If one does not act as the master explained, in such great detail that nobody else was told so clearly, one would be severely beaten. Whereas an inferior servant, who knows little and does wrong while he thinks he is doing right, will receive a less severe punishment. Much will be requested of him who was given much, and he who has much in his care will have to return much. Jesus speaks to us of the gifts which God gives us and how we can use them. Obedience to God's command, whatever this command may be, is the sign of the servant of God. On one I will impose keeping silent, on another speaking, on one to isolate himself, on another to become the leader of souls. To one I will give supernatural light, and to another a supernatural voice. Well then, let my servants act according to my will, and to me they will be equal in merit. Give freely then what I give you, with charity, with generosity, with humility. This flowing into you of the divine words is a double-edged sword. On one edge is humility, on the other pride. One edge gives life, the other gives death. For every gift of God forces the recipient either towards greater perfection or, with God's judgment weighing over his head if the opposite occurs, much will be asked of the one to whom much is given. You are given one coin of eternity. The Lord entrusts it to you and says, "Go, do business with your coin until I return." And on his return, or rather your return to him, he asks you, "What did you do with the coin you received?" I am the Father of all, and I give my treasures to the beloved. This is so that they will be my almsgivers for the spiritually poor, rather than greedily and uncharitably hoarding the treasures themselves, slaying charity and disobeying God's will. The fact of slaying charity alone breaks the canal through which my words flow to them, and it puts out the light by which they see the truth of my words. They thus forfeit their missions as bearers of my voice. This explains why certain souls, once beacons of the church, soon afterwards perish in a greyness of a destructive haze. Azariah, Maria's guardian angel, speaks of Paul, who says about gifts, "He has shown you that, if it is a gift, it is also a yoke, and obliges one to practice continuous virtue so as not to become a condemnation." He has said, "Of him to whom much is given, much is asked." Yes, to be able to say, "I did not know," is denied to you. In knowing, therefore, you must be perfect according to your strength, and you will realize that it constantly increases. For wisdom fortifies the souls that receive it with humility. Mary says, "Every election brings with it duties which are at once tremendous and sweet, and which become eternal rejoicing when the trial is over. The gift on my part of being the mother of the Redeemer, that is, the woman of sorrow, had to correspond to the supreme gift of the sinless conception. And the agony of Golgotha is the crown set upon the glory of my immaculate conception." And finally, Jesus speaks in a challenging way to Maria Valtorta about souls who do not value their gifts. He says, "They are baptized, but they are not united to me because they do not live. They are animal men, and not men united to God through grace. They are needy, and they should be pitied and helped to be saved. But you, on the other hand, will be judged severely because you have received perfect religious instruction directly from the Word of God, the most perfect one." Then Maria writes, I felt properly judged and worthy of hell. I already felt as if I were being enveloped by the infernal flames. I was tremendously frightened by these words. But after a pause in which he let me meditate, Jesus added, I truly tell you that if you did not join a total love like the love you have for me to your insufficiency in comparison to the religious instruction I have given you, your stay in purgatory would be very long, for you will be judged even for the slightest departures according to justice. But love will forgive you because of your love and according to my word. For I said, those who have loved greatly will be forgiven for many sins. And I say to you, you will be forgiven for your imperfections and insufficiency, because you love me with your whole capacity for loving. Go in peace, Maria. You are a victim of justice, but it is love that judges you. Do you understand? Love. The love of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are love. And Maria writes, I thus got over my fright.